Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
Now here's the problem. We got the whole Bible. We got all these stories. We got our own stories. We see how God took care of them. We see how God takes care of us. And then we are brain dead out of nowhere day after day after day, like nothing ever happened to anybody that God ever did for us or anybody else. And we just forget. We're fickle. We're like, well, this isn't working anymore. I'm out of here.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. Richard's unique style checks all the boxes with a lot of hope, insight, truth, and of course, humor. Today's talk with Richard will get our conversation started, but we want to keep it going with you. So let's stay in touch through our website, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Fickle. And I'd like to start with Exodus chapter 13. Fickle. While you turn to Exodus chapter 13, let me read you this definition. Likely to change, especially due to caprice, irresolution, or instability. Casually changeable. Another definition, not constant or loyal in affections. Fickle. Now, before I pounce on you, I better say that this had to run through me first. And unfortunately, whether we like it or not, most people listening to this message, believers or not, are fickle. And the reason I know this is because I am personally, unfortunately, too many times, and I got plenty of verses to back it up, even the ones I chopped out of here. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this pretty long time ago, "We are puny and fickle folk. Avarice, hesitation, and following are our diseases." And in Exodus chapter 13, without giving you the whole background here, if you know the story about Pharaoh and Egypt and God's people and Moses coming saying, "Let my people go." Finally, Moses, after the firstborn, including his own, die. Exodus 13, 7 says this, "Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." God knew they'd get afraid. God knew even the way he leads us sometimes is for our own good. You say, well, why did we go the long way? Because if you'd gone the short way, you might have seen some problems, said, where I was is better than where I am. I'm out of here. So God planned in even the route that they were to take. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you." Made him promise. Verse 20, "So they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Now you say, well, if I had a pillar of fire and a cloud, well, sure, I'd trust God. You got the Holy Spirit in you, and you still won't trust him. A cloud could come and go, a pillar of fire could come and go, and eventually it did disappear, and they didn't have that to follow. No matter what God gives us, we're still fickle. It's never enough. You got food to eat, you got clothes to wear. Nobody likes this stuff, but the Bible never promises shelter. If you got shelter, you got huge blessing. And we get food, shelter, clothing, cars, school, everything in the world, and we're still, you know what, and complaining to God. It's not enough, God. It's not enough. Go to Exodus chapter 14. God hardens Pharaoh's heart. He realizes what has happened. He gets chariots, best soldiers he's got, and chase them down like there's no way they're leaving. So Exodus chapter 10, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them." Now, these are the people with the pillar of fire and the cloud, God's presence physically with them. So they were very afraid. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, so they cry out to God first, and then immediately, almost immediately, here comes the complaining. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt?" Now you talk to some people, and this is one of these misnomers. People say, well, they told me if I accepted Jesus, you know, the Forrest Gump, "Have you found Jesus yet? You know, I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him. You know, I found Jesus," and they said, "all my problems would go away. I'd be healthy, I'd be wealthy, I'd be prosperous. No more problems, and all hell seems to be breaking loose." Man, I'm going back where I came from. At least that was more fun than this. Yeah, all Jesus did was save your sorry soul from hell and give you abundant life and eternal life, and you want to go back to what? You got nothing to go back to. But we start complaining almost instinctually, immediately after God provides all this stuff for us. Verse 12, is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. We'd rather be slaves to sin than out here trusting God to deliver us. That's what fickle Christians say. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Now here's the problem. We got the whole Bible. We got all these stories. We got our own stories. We see how God took care of them. We see how God takes care of us. And then we are brain dead out of nowhere day after day after day, like nothing ever happened to anybody that God ever did for us or anybody else. And we just forget. We're fickle. We're like, well, this isn't working anymore. I'm out of here. I don't like this anymore. I don't like God's plan. I don't like his timing. I'm tired of waiting on something to happen. I'm out of here. If you keep reading, what happens? Boom, the water parts. They go across on dry land. They get all across. Then the chariots come chasing. The water comes in, drowns them. Their bodies are on the shore. And still it's not enough. Go to Exodus chapter 15. Another situation. Same bunch of, stupid people. Try to use the word stupid as much as I can today. Verse 22, Exodus 15, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. There's no water. We're going to die. You can't live without water. Everybody knows that. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, and the people complained against Moses, saying, what are we going to drink? This is bitter water. You idiot. It's a Hebrew word that you don't get very often. So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it in the waters were made sweet. So he goes from bitter to sweet, just throwing a branch in there, and they still don't get it. Go to Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Okay? 15th day of the second month. They've not been gone hardly any time at all, seen extraordinary things happen. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out in the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. It's all premeditated. You're just trying to kill us. What are they thinking? They're not thinking. Go to Numbers chapter 11. Jump over a few books. Couple over. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Chapter 11. Numbers 11, verse 1. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. It's like God sent this fire, started on the outside, and starts moving in. In other words, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm done with you people. I'm doing these extraordinary things. I've gotten you out of bondage. I'm taking you to a promised land, and you're still back and forth, fickle, complaining, don't get it. So you know what? I'm done. And here comes this fire moving in on this mob of people. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of that place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. You know, that's a great phrase. Ever find yourself yielding to intense craving in a department store, at a freezer door at midnight? Could be the refrigerator door, but in my case, it's the freezer door. On the internet, some hot chick at the office? I think you get the point. Intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers. They can taste the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. God says, look, you had all that. But if all that had been all that, you wouldn't have come to me in the first place. So now you got me and I got you, and I'm taking you to some better place, to a promised land. You say, whoa, wait, don't we get some like cool stuff in between here and heaven? Isn't that part of the deal? Aren't you like gonna bless us? What is it you're after? Well, I had kind of a new car in mind myself. Maybe some fly clothes, you know, something. Okay, so you got your ticket to heaven, and now you got all these expectations of God. In the Old Testament, the promised land was a physical place, Israel, milk and honey. Forget the fish, forget the onions, forget the leeks. It was so much better, but they were fickle. In our case, they had the fire, the cloud. They had God in a tabernacle. You know what? We are the tabernacle now. We are the mobile home that God lives in now. And you say, well, okay, well, that's good. I want more. I demand more. The people in the Old Testament, they had more. I want stuff. Heaven's not enough. I want to be blessed. You know, when I finally figured out what being blessed was, when I could go to sleep at night with some peace in my heart and in my mind, and where I knew that my sins were really, 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 really forgiven. And it wasn't just some words in a book. Where the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, had cleansed me. And I never understood that. And I had joy, not happy all the time, but I had joy even in the worst situations. You know, once you get peace and you have love from God, for God, and for some other people, what else are you going to get? Going to trump all that? Go to Matthew chapter 21. I'll show you some more fickle people. Part of the prophecy of Jesus' life would be that he'd ride into Jerusalem lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And in Matthew 21, verse 6, Jesus had told him to go get this donkey, told him where the donkey would be. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes, lots of people, who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Matthew chapter 26, verse 55 and following. Jesus has gone to the garden. He's had the Last Supper with his disciples. Judas is ditched. Verse 55, in that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, and these are the mob that came out to arrest him that Judas had brought out there. In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then look at the last phrase in verse 55. You're in good company. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. All of them. You say, well, didn't Peter stay? Wasn't he the rock? He hid under a rock. All of them ditched. These guys who had been with Jesus for 3 years, night and day, teaching, trusting, listening, and just like that, they're gone. Fickle disciples. Now, let me tell you something. I march around maybe trying to be all that, and I'm a pastor, an elder, you know, yada, yada, yada. Please don't put your leaders on high pedestals, because all I can do is keep up with the 12 disciples. You say, well, that's not right. Yeah, it's no more right in my life than it is in yours, is it? And yet we go around smiling and shaking hands and saying all the right things, but deep, deep down inside, somewhere along the way, we ditch just like they did. And we're praying like mad one morning, and within hours, we get in a situation and he says, trust me, do this, obey me, speak to someone, be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. And someone mocks our Jesus and uses his name, and we crater and flee. All the disciples forsook him and fled. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Now here's your little bit of encouragement. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. That's how he thought it was going to be. These guys had been told repeatedly,
tear down the temple, in 3 days I'll rebuild it. Jesus said, you're anointing for my burial. He had told them, I'm going to be raised from the dead. Nobody believed it. You go track even the resurrection. The only people at the tomb were the women, and they went to embalm his body a little more. You say, yeah, but I believe all this. No, you don't. You don't believe any of this. You say you do. I say I do. If I really believed all this stuff, I'd be so overwhelmed and compelled to do so much stuff, I couldn't sleep at night. You come in here and Patrick will say, you know what? Let's give the Lord a praise offering, a clap offering. Let's applaud Jesus. If the mayor walked in here, we'd applaud louder for him than we do for Jesus. You say, yeah, but the mayor, if he were here, he'd be here. Jesus isn't here. And there's your problem. You don't even think he's here. If he was really here, and he really lived inside of me, and I really was supposed to be doing something every day with my life, I wouldn't be as fickle as I am. And the less faith you got, the more fickle you are. And God stuck with us because there's no backup bride. Well, to heck with the church. Let's go find us some people that really know how to do it, and we'll ditch the church idea and we'll go after them. He didn't do that. He says, you know what? You're all I got, and I'm getting it done through you. So let's figure out what we're doing. Matthew 27. So we got people out there throwing their clothes in the road. Hosanna to the highest. One day, a few days later, his own disciples, everybody flees. And then look how this turns. Matthew 27, 17. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude. How fickle are we? Few religious people come in and say something, and here we are carted off. The chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. They didn't just say ask for Barabbas. Ask for Barabbas and ask that he destroy Jesus, kill him. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. The Pilate said to them, well, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why, what evil has he done? And then the mob rule kicked in, the fickle mob cheering one day, is now screaming, cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. I'd like to think, oh, well, if I were there, I would have been saying, save Jesus, save Jesus. But unfortunately, we all got him killed. And if you take that route and you say, yeah, but if that happened again, I really do have enough faith. I would have stayed with Jesus when he was arrested. Oh, really? You got more game than all 12 disciples, right? I think the sooner we just stop and just do something like this, you say, you know what, Lord, it's about confessing sins and keeping it real and being honest. I am a flake. I am fickle, and it's not like you don't know it. So let's just start there. But here's the deal. I don't think it goes over big with you, and it sure doesn't go over big with me, and it's not helping my life or anybody around me. So how about we grow up and pick a lane and stick in it and do this thing? Not religiously, but faithfully from the heart. Ephesians chapter 4. I got Ephesians and Colossians. Ephesians chapter 4. And he talks about here gifts being given to the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, fickle, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the craftiness of deceitful plotting. And by the way, the word fickle comes from the word that means deceitful, treachery, deceive, deception. To be fickle means you've been deceived. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And the last one is Colossians chapter 3, and I'll just read a couple of verses there. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, or the King James Version, if you have that, says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And this word here, set your mind, set your affection, means to have understanding, be wise, to feel, to think. Set your affection, set your mind, set your life on what? On things above, not on things on the earth. We are so busy pursuing our happiness, our fulfillment, our whatever, instead of saying, okay, God, what do you want today? It may be inconvenient for me, but what do you want today? Because left to me, I may serve you, I may not. I've got to set my mind. I got to think about things above. I got to find out who you are, what you're thinking, what you want done in my life, in the world, and be about that. Or I will just be tossed to and fro, drift all over the place. Well, am I the only fickle person in here? Anybody else feel fickle every once in a while? Raise your hand. And I saw one gentleman pointing at his wife, so that's good for, we need special prayer for him. I always think it's better to start out just where we are and then move somewhere, at least where there's some growth, instead of claiming to be something that we're not and then having to maintain that act because we can't be honest anymore.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's pray. And our Father, you've been putting up with your people, and we are a part of your people for a very, very long time. Adam and Eve got deceived and kicked this whole mess off, Lord, and we continue to make a disaster of it. But Father, it is possible. It has to be possible because the disciples went on, some of them, to grow up, and you used in mighty ways, Lord. And I pray that we would set our affections, our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. It's not that we don't do a good job on our jobs. It's not that we don't raise our kids and try to provide for our families, Lord, but we've gotten way out of hand on this providing for our family stuff. Most of us, Lord, anybody listening today has got some clothes to wear and some food to eat, or at least knows where to find some. We are way out of balance, way out of bounds, and demanding more. Father, you have already given us way more than was ever even promised. Help us be truly grateful for that and maximize the time that we have on this planet. It may be 50 years, it may be 5 days, it could be today. Help us not waste any more, not of our time, but your time, Lord. Help us pick a lane and stay in it and follow you. Better than that, let you walk in and through us in such a way that every step that we take, every breath that we make is where you want us to go. It's what you want us to do. Father, thank you for sending your son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for living a sinless life, becoming sin for us. When you, who knew no sin, literally became sin for us, we thank you, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Father, there may be somebody listening today who doesn't know you personally. May today be the day they go, God, I want protection. I want you to bless me, but I don't want a relationship with you. I don't want you telling me what to do. I don't want to have to obey. I want all the benefits without any of the responsibility, and that's getting me nowhere. I believe that Jesus is God and a man, that he died on the cross, shed his blood, was buried and raised from the dead to give me life eternal and abundant between here and heaven. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I accept the forgiveness of my sin and this gift of eternal life that you offer freely. I know that I can't pay for it. I know I don't deserve it, but I'm gonna say thank you and accept. Come live in me, Holy Spirit of God, and dwell in and through me and use my life in spite of my guaranteed fickleness after this day. Please don't give up on me, Lord, because I know you're here to stay and I'd like to be here to stay as well. Close to you as I need to be, in order to live the life you have for me. Father, you're the best. I really thank you for being patient and putting up with us. And I ask you to use us in spite of ourselves for your name's sake, for your honor and your glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. The message of the gospel is one we take very seriously in our mission to reach the planet, and you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to tell someone about the change they've made in your life. You can even share today's talk with them through the website, richardellis.com. And we'd love to hear your story, as well as to how these talks have made a difference to you, too. Give us a call, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellis.com. And while you're there, check out all the pages we put together for you, richardellis.com. Also, be sure to click on the Contribute tab to send your very generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.